call will be your roll call.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Any public comments or items not on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to the draft minutes. Still any comments?
No, I need to accept the minutes as shown.
Okay, second. And approved.
Aye.
Presentation finance update.
Just as far as the finance update goes, we're going to do the proposed budget tonight at the board meeting. This will be an opportunity to look it over, suggest any changes or modifications to it, and then it'll come back again in 2 weeks for final approval.
Were there any substantive changes from the last finance committee? This made a number of comments, but I assume those were incorporated. Anything else come up during the 17 weeks?
Well, we cleaned up some. Yeah. We cleaned it up. Yeah. There was some.
There's a couple. So I've updated all of the actuals through April. I've also removed some graphs, but then added in a new table that we think would make everything more clear.
Okay.
So.
You'll run through those tonight.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Moving on to item E, the special solar panels.
Okay, Sue did some work a while back over an inquiry. I guess this is actually the second time we've looked at solar panels. I wasn't around for the first time. I think the first time around it didn't really pencil out. But there's been advances made. So we're just going to update you on where things are. Sue, you have the floor.
Hey, hi. Okay, so to start with, I'll go over some of the information that I was given from our last meeting in June of last year. And this comes from Bob Parkins, and he's with Bob Parkins Renewable Energy Consultants. The first page, which is the aerial view, shows the treatment plant, and the vacant lot behind it would be the area where the solar field would be placed. The second page, I put a grid in there so that each little square is... Oh, yes.
First page?
Yes. That's the aerial of the wastewater treatment plant. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the aerial view of the wastewater treatment plant, number two. Yeah. And then the second page is same view, but I've added in a grid to show what 30 acres would look like. And then the green section would be the approximate size of the solar field, not necessarily in that exact location, but each system is approximately the same. So the one is just a little bit smaller, and that's the single axis tracker. Okay. So just to review from our last meeting of June of last year, I'll tell you the basic differences between the two systems that he proposed. First one, the single, okay, and so if you wanted to pull out, while I'm telling you the differences, if you wanted to pull out your spreadsheets, okay, from the packet, the single axis tracker,
yeah, you get it in, I guess, we miniaturized it, or what did we do?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry about that. So, okay.
I get the small.
Okay.
I throw it.
So the single axis tracker is a 1 megawatt, in case you wanted to know. It takes less space and has a greater return on investment. The tracker system, so this system has been in existence for 22 years. This system has more motors and controllers than the second one, which is the fixed tilt ground mount. And there's more maintenance with this one. The town would need to contract out the maintenance, and that's something we can't do ourselves. There is a warranty period on both systems. And the town would get more, how Bob described it, as more bang for the buck with this tracker system. Now moving on to the...
Yeah, the buck is much more.
Yes, yes. The fixed tilt ground mount, this system is 25% larger. And because the system is larger, it has more modules contributing to the generation part of it, so generating more energy. So this system at the top, you'll see it has the 1.25 or 1,250 kilowatt, which is 1.2 megawatt. Okay. And this ground mount has fewer things that could go wrong and may be more dependable. Both systems that are shown are very reliable and very good. The industry knows both of these systems very well. So that's a review of what our last meeting, what we discussed at our last meeting. So going forward, any questions or anything on those? Okay. So if you would, behind those two pictures, there should be a chart that shows the demand charges and energy charges. It's entitled, it's behind your pictures. It was the extra handout. So it's at the top, it's demand and energy charges breakdown. So this shows the period between 4-1 of 2017 and 4-10 of 2018. This was the months that for the data that we gave him for last year. Okay. So the annual electric bill of $322,774, so that's the first column, consists of $116,373 demand charge. That demand charge equates out to 36%. And then the energy charges are $206,401, and so that's 64%. The proposed solar systems would eliminate the energy portion. So that portion would be eliminated, but we would still have to pay the $116,000 demand charges because of the peaks the plant experiences at night running the pumps and things like that. So that's done at nighttime. The previous spreadsheets, so the spreadsheets that we looked at for the 1.25 megawatt fixed tilt ground mount or the 1.0 single axer tracker would still have simple paybacks between years 7 and 8. So if you go back to the spreadsheets, you'll see the cells are highlighted between years 7 and 8. And the return on investment would be 11%. That's approximate for both systems, either one, from displacing the energy portion of the bills. So again, we eliminate the energy portion, but we still have to pay the demand portion.
Just so that you calculate.
Yes.
So we're on this issue.
Yes.
This is supposed to reflect the bill that we've been getting from PG.
Yes. I'm sorry. I should have said that.
That's
yes, right. Correct.
Yes.
So that column shows the monthly
but
amount.
Our bills get the summer months, don't they get like $140,000 a month?
Well, this is just
plant.
Yeah.
The plant. The plant.
I'm just talking. That's what I wanted. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. Now I'm covered.
Okay. Great. Okay. So the net savings dollar-wise, the excess solar generated during the day produces more than our plant uses. So it would produce more, and it's banked by PG&E. And it's credited to us at night when the solar system is not producing electricity. However, PG&E is actually generating the energy used by us at night, even though the energy charges are eliminated by the credits. And so the demand charges still apply. And I did a breakdown. So these were the months between, 17 and 18. So I did a breakdown, same period for our fiscal year that we're currently in. And the prices are, the amounts, the totals are very similar to what he had from last year. So just in case you were wondering if we're higher this year or not, we're about the same as last year. Bob did tell me that our demand charges at our plant are really burdensome. And so the demand charge, I didn't know what that was, so just in case you don't know what that is, it's the maximum amount of power drawn offline in any 15-minute interval. If the pumps are turned on all at once, the demand charge would be the greatest, and we would get charged that rate the entire month. The meter that's there automatically records every 15 minutes the maximum amount of the power that's charged. And so there are, just in case you wanted to know, 2,880 15-minute periods in a month. So PG&E has 2,880 opportunities to find the highest peak usage and charges that rate the entire month.
That'll love PG&E.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and give you a background on PG&E and demand charges. PG&E started losing revenue when solar came along. Solar knocked large amounts off of PG&E's revenue, so PG&E charged highest peak power that we have now. There are areas where there is justification for demand charge, Bob told me. He said utility plans are required all the power needed whenever it's demanded of them. Large development plants with a lot of demands are another. If they decide they need all the requested amount all at the same time, PG&E has to have that power available on standby. And even if plants aren't running, they still need to be ready just in case.
This is like our account charge. They had lawyers look at that thoroughly so they understand.
Okay.
Yeah, but whether you turn the light on or not, it has to be there, yes. Ready to go, available, and get the structure.
That's an argument they can do.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the information regarding the money and the cost for the systems that were proposed. And so this money will need to be paid up front for the solar system. So other than paying for the system right away, there are a couple of options to choose from. The town may choose to use a power purchase agreement, which going forward I'll just say PPA. The PPA is a way for a public agency to not have to spend any upfront money. The PPA has investors, and the PPA designs, buys the parts, installs the system, and works with the utility company. Then the PPA takes the generation from the plant and sells it to the town. The price to the town is at a lower price than with PG&E. Again, there's no capital monies up front. The PPA takes the revenue from selling to the town to recover their investment. Contracts with PPA are written differently, and there's usually an option to renew after 10 years, but very few people do this. The other option is that the town could buy out the agreement for a discount. For an example of a PPA, at year 10, when the PPA has picked up most of their return on investment, they may sell to the town at a 35% off the original price. The system would still have at least 15 years of working life left, which, by the way, each of these systems has a lifespan of 25 to 30 years. So I'll just repeat that last part. The system would still have at least 15 years of working life left, and the town would only have to pay the 35% of the original price. The fixed amount at that rate would be $634,000. And the single axis tracker would be $595,000. If the town got a loan to pay that 35%, the town's return on the system would more than exceed the payment of the loan on a much lower rate than the original cost. Most everyone that Bob knows has opted to purchase as soon as they can. Everyone that Bob Parkins has worked with has opted to purchase as soon as they can. So as soon as it's available through the PPA, as soon as it's offered to the district.
And when is that again?
He says normally at year 10.
Year 10.
Mm-hmm.
So year 10, he paid 30-something percent of
correct.
The original cost.
Of the original cost. And then it's yours. Right.
Which is $600,000 to $650,000 depending on. Plan. Did you talk about if it degrades? Don't solar panels degrade over time?
Yes, and that is.
You get degraded. You're getting degraded over the time. I'm not sure if it means $15,000. I think you're going to buy $15,000 cost. Right,
exactly. Okay, all right. The advantage of working with a PPA is that we pay a lower rate for power than we'd be paying with PG&E. We'd get a discount on power from the PPA. If the town goes to just review all of that, if the town decides to go with a PPA, there'd be no money down. We'd pay less for electricity than if we stay with PG&E. Plus, getting credit for the grid at night is a huge advantage. Then, when the option to renew the contract comes up, usually at 10 years, buy out the system at the discounted amount. Payment on the loan will be considerably less than the original upfront amount. The town advertises that we want a PPA, and PPAs are the finance guys. They find investors. Investors can be anybody like insurance companies, banks, or private investors. The revenue they get goes back to pay off the investors, and what's left is profit for the PPA. The most common way for the town to advertise for a PPA is to put out an RFP and include in that in the scope that the town wants a power purchase agreement for one new system and mention the details. Another option besides a PPA is a lease agreement. A leasing company pays for everything up front and leases back to the town. Bob said he personally doesn't like this because we pay a set amount. If the system goes down and we don't get any energy savings, the town still needs to pay. If the system goes down and a leasing company, if the system goes down, a leasing company is less motivated because they're still getting their money from the town. But the town is not getting any energy savings. If the town goes with a PPA, the PPA works quickly to repair if the system goes down because they're making money when generating power. It's like their baby. A question was asked, are there any nuances with PG&E to get up and running? Bob recommends net energy metering, which is NEM. There is a big advantage to NEM. The concept is, if we generate part of our own power, what we don't use immediately, the unused power goes back into the grid. We have a special meter that goes backward and forward that's installed. PG&E comes out and puts on that special meter. There is a credit for what goes onto the lines. At night, the solar system is not running, and we're drawing all power from PG&E. We would have credit for these charges since we put more on the line during the day. Bob's not exactly sure what an NEM, what it costs to start one, but he thinks it's approximately $1,400. We would work with PG&E to develop a new tariff rate.
$1,400 per panel?
No, to start with for that meter, to have that meter installed to start a net energy metering at the site.
Yeah, I don't know if it's per panel or per system. It's a good question. I think it's a system. Yeah. Asking if it's per solar or if it's per system.
Probably one meter going back or
forth. Hold on, hold on. Yeah. Okay,
well,
ask the question.
Got it. Okay, so we would work with PG&E to develop a new tariff rate for the town. We'd work with our key accounts manager. We do have one, by the way, who works on the town's behalf. PG&E would most likely give us more than one tariff to choose from. Typically, we'd be able to choose the tariff to fit our situation. If the town decided to work with a PPA, the town can also have net energy metering at the same time. And Bob said for us, reading between the lines, he said this option would be somewhat attractive. Another question is, how long would it take to get the system up and running? Am I going too fast? Okay. How long would it take to get the system up and running? First, it would take 4 to 8 weeks to develop an RFP and to advertise, and as long as everyone who has to review it is quick to review. Bob highly recommends having a geotechnical report, and we may already have one of this report through Veolia. It's, just in case I didn't know what it was, it's a soils report and a site map with boundaries and topographical. Okay. The town needs to do competitive bidding, so Bob can assist with the bid process. He works with the town RFP template to develop the technical and scope that fits into our template. Next, once we have the final product and ready to go to advertise the RFP to get bids, that takes about 4 weeks. And once the bids are received, it takes 4 to 8 weeks to do the bid review and execute the contract. If the town decides at that point to go with a PPA option, this time could be up to 12 weeks to allow time to negotiate a contract with the PPA. Once the contract is issued, it takes 4 to 5 months to have the system up and running. And Bob sizes the system to put out more power during the day so that at night we use the credit that we earn during the day. Next question is, would it be possible to feed energy to other town facilities to cover the entire town's PG&E bills? You can install a solar system at one location and have its generation credited to other meters by two methods. Aggregate net metering, which is if multiple meters are on adjacent parcels and not separated by one another, you can have the solar generation credited to any number of meters on the adjacent parcels at the retail rate.
We don't have
it. No. And then there's renewable energy self-generation bill credit transfer, and this is meant for public agencies. And under it, you can have a solar system at one location and have the generation credited to other agencies metered. Under it, you can have a solar system at one location and have the generation credited to other agency meters located anywhere, not just on adjacent parcels. The catch for that is that the credit is based on the wholesale rate, which is very low. You would only get credit for about 3 cents a kilowatt versus the retail rate of 7 to 20 plus cents per kilowatt, depending on the season and the time. And Bob says he does not recommend it as he doesn't see how we would get return on investment, and he feels it's a loser. So the bottom line, he said, is that we'd need solar generation to be located where it will be used. Asked if there's any grant incentives, Bob said he hasn't heard of any grants for solar lately. Grants are constantly changing. We could Google search for and may find someone that can assist. Bob says he doesn't do grant searching because it takes too much time. His experience is people may find a $500,000 grant. The bad side of the grant is that they leech us on proposals. We may have to hire someone to write the proposals. It takes a lot of time and takes a lot of money. There are also reporting requirements after. This takes time to provide the report and costs to pay someone to do that. Bob says there's no such thing as free money. There's always a hook, even with the federal government and the state government. So to summarize, this is taking everything that I talked with him about. Bob's summary, I call it. prepare to pay higher utility bills. As we've seen in the news, PG&E is in deep trouble. PG&E is trying to get higher rates to ratepayers. Rate structures that PG&E uses are really old, and with the fires that have occurred, you can see the writing on the wall, he said. Let's say we own a solar system by purchasing the system outright using the net energy metering way. The system would pay for itself in 7 to 8 years, and the system should last about 30 years. We'd pay zero for the electric rate, and so using 30 years for the life of the system, minus the 7 years to pay for the system, there would be 23 years with no electricity payments. Bob asked us to think about 23 years from now, how much do you think electricity rates will be? And he said they probably have gone up 3 to 4 times more. He said during the last 30 years, the electricity costs have gone up 5%. And then he put this thought-provoking idea out. This is a decision to think ahead. He asked, is it worthwhile to hedge? We know the rates are going to increase at a faster rate than what we've ever experienced in the past. He said this is an opportunity to reap a reward. We know that what conditions the PG&E substations are in. They're 60 years old. He said either the utility rates will increase or the state of California will tax the ratepayers and give the money back to the utility companies so that they stay in business. He said it makes sense to look for long-range benefits. And that concludes my report.
Thank you.
That's
a lot.
Well, just to make sure that I wrote the right thing. 7 to 8 year return on investment, 7 to 8 years.
Yes.
And that's regardless of fixed or
Correct.
It's expected to last 30 years.
25 to 30 years.
Okay, earlier you said 23 to 20 something.
That was for the, if we, let's see, if we purchase the system outright with the NEM, maybe I didn't say that right. So using 30
that's
years.
That's right. Clarity is.
That's right, because I maxed it at 30 years. Okay. That's right. You're right.
Not
very good.
Heard to it. Sure.
Yes.
Under the power purchase agreement, so if you enter into this agreement, the power purchase agreement agency funds the whole project.
Yeah.
Now, do they manage the installation and everything, or is that on us?
Do they manage it?
Do we say, okay, we want 1.25 kilowatts, whatever it is. Do we say, okay, there's the site, install it, and do they take care of all the permitting?
Yes.
Okay.
They do the design, they buy the parts, they install the system, and they work with them.
So we don't have anything to do other than sign the agreement.
Correct.
And we put out an RFP.
Yes. That's what we have to do.
We would have to pay the consultant to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then during this period when the agreement is in effect, the power purchasing agreement agency is responsible for all the maintenance on this.
Yes. Yes. Because that's their, it's like they own it.
Right,
they
own it. They
sell
it to
us.
Yes. They pay for whatever needs to be done to keep that thing running at all times. It's in their best interest.
Yes, because it's in theirs while they have it. Yeah, they want to get it fixed if there's a problem.
Have we talked with Veolia to see if they have systems in place where they can manage the demand charge? This isn't affecting it on the demand charge side unless you start getting it hard during peak periods. So do they have a method where they can manage plant flows such that they get the pumps at more favorable pricing times?
Oh, right. I don't know that.
Can you check with Bernie or whoever at the audience and see if they have a...
We had a presentation on a company that Veolia brought us to listen to that goes in and looks at the plant and looks at the system from a variety of lights, power usage, and all of these things. And then you pay them to come in, they make changes, and then those changes cost money. And when they make their money on the changes, you now reap the savings. So there are consultants that can do that.
And when has anybody talked to PG&E to see how, at least what they believe to be their approach in terms of increases, whether it be on the demand side or the energy side, and just how are they, if they're going to load it all up on the demand side, well, then it's a different calculation. If it's all on the energy side, then it's a different calculation.
And I think that's when we talk with them about the tariff that we get to choose from so that it fits the system. But I'm not
positive. Okay.
I mean, that just happened.
Can you explain tariff?
The tariff is the going rate. So they have, from how I am understanding, Bob, that they have a chance out of those 2,880 opportunities.
Yeah.
So that's how they choose. And it's impossible to read the bill. They try. Not that I'm any expert, but.
Okay.
Cost, just to make sure I've got that, 634,000.
Oh, if we purchase at 35% after about year 10.
You're giving the cost, that's what you meant.
Yes,
At $5.95 per tractor.
Correct.
The tractor has a lot more. We went over this tractor versus tractor has a lot more opportunities for failure and expense.
Yes. That's what he said. It has more motors. And
and you can put a couple more panels up on the fixed and still make up the cost.
Well, I'm wondering there that if you're under, if we bought it outright, that'd be on us. But if we do it under a PPA, that's on them.
Yes.
And if you're tracking, you're taking more advantage of
right where I was going. If we don't have to worry about, although 10 years into it, then it reverts back to us.
I'm curious to know at the end of 10 years,
that's when you renegotiate the agreement, correct?
You can, that's one option.
Or you can buy it out. What happens if they say, we're not interested in a new agreement, we want you to buy it out? And we say, we're not interested in buying it out because it really hasn't.
Well, the original agreement is
sense. How I see that makes sense.
And then we started this with looking at the PowerPoint, and then the question asking if we could get credits together. It sounds like if everything's over there, it's not going to work out.
Right.
So the PowerPoint is the primary source.
Yeah.
Do we have a sense? If we know what the treatment plan and whose cost it is. We know what everything else pulls up to. Or could you bring that back to us at some point?
Yeah, if I understand correctly, if we put solar at other locations?
Well, what's our cost now? I mean, we're spending
whatever
the totals are here.
We can bring you a spreadsheet.
Yeah, $300,000 a year for the treatment plant. Okay. What is it for the pump stations?
Okay.
What is it for the treatment, the water treatment facilities?
Okay.
Is that 10% of our total, or is that 30%?
Do you remember how many PG&E bills we have? Altogether, it's like a lot.
Well, it's everybody in the pump station.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody should have skated.
Well, what you're looking at is like freshwater. Right? Yeah. You've got the big expense, obviously, is the pump station. Yeah. And we've got like 13, 15 lift stations. I don't know if those are taking the power. If we could benefit if we move this trailer that we've got, we'd probably put panels right there. No, okay. The idea is that you could easily put, if you just have a call for wastewater, you could easily refresh it at a later date.
There was one about the O&M costs, too, because I didn't know what our O&M costs and what would that be. He had said that they come out and look at the inverter. They may need to replace parts here and there, and the cleaning is really necessary to keep the best production cleaning up.
Public comment? Go you first. Go you jump in.
I didn't know if we went over the schedules that were attached to the agenda pack. There are spreadsheets where you're buying the 1,250,000 watt one and a million. You've got a spreadsheet here that says that the cost of these are just outright purchases.
Okay. Yeah.
1,812,000. That's your 1.2 megawatt system. And where I think there are two problems when you're looking at this as far as the calculation of when you're going to get the payback. One is that if I look at it, it says in the first year you're going to produce $193,125
worth of kilowatts. Those are not dollars.
Those are dollars. They should help. They're dollars in the chart that you're looking
at. Oh, okay. In the chart. The
chart that is there. Then it says the O&M costs, which are 0.015 per kilowatt, is a minus 18,750. But the error is that the 18,750 is added to the 193, so you're having a cash flow of $211,000, when in reality you're having a cash flow of about $180,000.
Do you know what those are going to
be?
And so that just moves your, which chart are you on, let's make sure we're all, is it the wastewater treatment takes one fixed round amount?
Yes.
Okay. I can check that.
So you're on that same one?
Yes, I am. I'll make a note. I do understand. I mean, I understand that, but I think there's a reason that it shows that, to show that that's how much the cost. We can plan on that being our cost for the year.
I would go back and have the consultant relook at the figures and make sure that that's right.
Yes.
I think we have an Excel spreadsheet here, and that they add that down instead of just it's already in the negative.
Okay.
The other thing these charts don't show you is that $116,000 fixed demand fee. That's not built into here anywhere. So you're going to be paying that on top of, you know, to get this electricity.
Right.
So I don't think you're going to get a payback quite in 5 to 7 years. It's going to be a little longer, quite a bit longer when you put in the demand fee. So I'm just looking at those costs. When I looked at the solar for the yacht club, we went with the PPA on the And basically, it was a contract for 30 years that had an option at 5 years to buy it out at a certain price. You don't elect your option, and you just keep buying it from them. So it's a trade-off. You know, if you have the money, I think you're better off owning it than running the PPA. Because they're going to make some money on what they sell electricity to you for. So when you're doing your analysis, I think that these costs or these savings have a few errors.
I think the other considerations are that we're looking at if we were to go forward with this, one, and two, whether it would be a PPA or owning it outright. You know, owning it outright means taking money out of the reserves in the wastewater plant. And we have a big project coming up, which is D-Net, and we're waiting on the master plan to come through. So that's one thing to think about in terms of timing. And then the second thing to think about in terms of timing is you know, once you've committed to building the solar out on our property behind the plant, that's what we use the property for. You know, you're reclaiming that property, yeah, you can't get it back. So we have to be sure that that's the best use of the property that we want to commit to. So I know we're not back to the board. It's a little bit like chess.
And so the question would be on this chart, I see the green, that's for the Titans. So it's going to consume all 38.
No, just the green.
But there's going to be anywhere.
Yeah, so we only lose a quarter of it.
Right. And one of the interesting things is our new project, we're looking at all kinds of things with being right now, and maybe perking and land and stuff like that. Right. So I just offer that as.
Any other public comment before we get into our discussion up here? Anything else, Bill?
No.
Gary? Move on. A couple of things. I would be interested if you would talk to a couple of public agencies that have entered into power purchase agreements, because I think there's quite a number of them that have done, and see what their experience, how easy was it, who did they use, is it paying off in the schedule that was shown, is it better, is it worse, you know, how the maintenance, whether they're doing it themselves or people have done it themselves, you've got the additional cost of having maintenance people. So I'd just like to find out what others' experiences have been. We also have that ransom machine, like one of the big shot.
The ransom,
yes.
State of California gives them rebates to businesses. I know they do to homeowners. And that would be a difference between purchase and lease. You gave a benefit of rebate.
And water board, they have grants.
drive it down, how we go through the back roads on the motorcycle trip, where there was irrigation, you know, they didn't have irrigation, they turned those fields into solar farms.
Yeah.
And they come down as a five.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you're at.
Okay, so then, if I looked at the whole thing through, if we were to say go, which is not what we're talking about, but 4 to 8 weeks for RFP, 4 weeks to get this, so it's 8 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks to review, 12 weeks to negotiate. So that's 20, 24, 32, and then 5 months, so 32 weeks.
Well, we're a long way from
Lawrence County, and that's for now. But that's when things don't flow in sequence. You finish one and you move to the other. So even if we were to move forward as aggressively as we could, we're probably looking at just going to say,
well, I think also we can take into consideration what's going to happen at trigger point with the United facilities and whatever demands that's going to have on property, location, and
engineering.
So I'm thinking for next steps, we will get answers to these questions, provide feedback, and at the next meeting, we'll try to strategize on what the board direction that this committee might want to go, and it's probably bringing this guy to talk to the board if we decide if this is something we want to start with.
But we need a lot more questions to answer before we decide to move forward.